Mary, teacher of hope, the origin of discouragement and dejection, and Jesus Christ, the supreme good. The spirit of Advent largely consists of living close to Our Lady during this time when she is carrying Jesus in her womb. We can think of the whole of our life as a somewhat longer Advent, a time of waiting for that definitive moment when we will at last find ourselves with God forever. The Christian knows that he has to live this Advent beside Our Lady every day of his life if he wants to be certain of attaining the only thing in the whole of his existence that is really important, finding Jesus Christ in his life, and afterwards being with him in eternity. This is one of the things, and you know, every time we approach these penitential seasons, and we know that after the penitential season, there's a season really of great joy, rejoicing. And we're reminded of this even during our penitential seasons, to rejoice and be glad, for the Lord is near. He is close at hand. And yet we have to remember that, like Our Lady, we have to journey through this time of sorrow, of tears, striving for what is most important in our life, to give an edifying example, to strive for virtue in our life. This is be the first thing we must strive for and be conscientious of. The whole purpose of our doing penance is to strengthen our will so that it might unite it with the will of God. This is why we pray that God might give us the grace to walk in his footsteps, that in times of trial and temptation, we be proved faithful. So our Lord can boast of us as he did. Remember, Job himself is a beautiful example that, you know, the way Job was an uprighteous and just man. As God acknowledges this in the Old Testament. He even tells Satan, he says, you know, you have tempted me to try my servant Job. God has a right to do this. And he doesn't do it without a great profit to ourselves, because he rewards that fidelity. It's one of the things he stresses over and over, even with the talents. He gives us talents and skills. You remember the one talent, two talents, and five talents, or the other one was one, five, and ten. Each one gets reward for his labors, or the lack of labors, but each will receive the reward. And what a great reward. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has in store for those who love him. And to recognize that each thing that happens in our life, especially those trials, those are the things that oftentimes we gain the most. We usually want to throw it in the wastebasket. So I can't stand it. This is why we must pray that we don't chuck in the towel, throw it in and quit, but that we strive for that finish line, constantly keeping our Lord in our hearts, striving to remain close to him. There is no better way of preparing for Christmas, which is now so close, than by keeping Mary company, getting to know her and deepening our love and trust in her. Mary imparts great joy to our soul because when we turn to her, she leads us to Christ. Mary teaches us to hope. All generations will call me blessed, she proclaimed. Humanly speaking, how could she hope for such a thing? Who was she in the eyes of her contemporaries? Well, than anybody. She was hidden. Sometimes the greatest among us, we do not know because they're hidden. Their names are known to God and we will only know them in eternity. There are many saints. Even St. Anthony one time appeared, he told someone who's petitioning him, asking his petitions, he says, there are saints greater than me in heaven. And many of them. There are many saints in heaven we do not know, and they are very great and powerful with God for their intercession. One of the reasons why we want to have devotion to all the saints, even the unknown ones, because they really do love us more than we can ever understand. And Our Lady's comparing Our Lady from some of the Old Testament figures with Judith, Esther, and Deborah, who won a measure of human renown even here on earth. We know that Our Lady, in a certain sense, more in a spiritual sense, for all those who are close to her son and want to love her son, as they come to know our Lord, our Lord will also give them the gift to know the greatest thing that they could know in His creation, which is Our Lady. And this is one of the gifts of Our Lady, is to draw souls to Christ. As the devil's taken on, his job is to draw souls away from Christ, Our Lady is in complete opposition with that and works against it constantly. You might even say she's more, in fact, I won't say might, she is more vigilant than the devil in this. If we turn to her, we will not lose. But we must be humble and strive for that perfection which she is drawing us to. We must cooperate with that grace. What a contrast between Our Lady's hope and our own impatience. We call so often upon God to reward us at once for any little good we may have done. For us, no sooner does the very first difficulty appear than we begin to complain. And we lose many graces because we just don't keep our, as the saying goes, we don't keep our yap shut. This starts running way too fast. We don't think before we speak. It's a grace to pray for. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Quick to listen. These are graces which, if we obtain them, if we keep control of the tongue, we can gain our souls. A good thing to fear from our Lord, He does tell us in another place in Scripture, you will be accountable for every idle word you speak. A fearful thing when we talk too much. The one who becomes discouraged are not those who undergo difficulties and feel pain. It is those, rather, who do not aspire to sanctity and eternal life, those who despair of ever reaching them, who buckle and give up. This is part of what it means to complain. We're not satisfied with what God's provided, so we complain about it. And it doesn't matter how it comes to us. Gripe, 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 complain, complain, complain. Get a cross and we start crying, to everybody and our brother and sister. Just can't offer it up according to God's will, so that it might profit the soul. The attitude of the former is shaped by a lack of faith, by comfort-seeking, lukewarmness, and an excessive attachment to earthly goods, which they consider to be the only good things worth having. If we set our sights on God, what more should we desire than God Himself? If we have Him, we have everything. If we don't have Him, even what we seem to have, we will lose. Discouragement, on the other hand, if it is not remedied, paralyzes any effort to do good and to overcome difficulties. Sometimes we get so much to do, it's just like impossible. It can be a type of discouragement. You have so much to do, it's just impossible. So you fret about it and do nothing and wonder why nothing gets done. Nothing gets done because all you're doing is fretting about it. If you just turn around and say, okay, organize yourself a little bit. I sometimes give people the example of a triage nurse. Some of you may not know what a triage nurse is, but it's a beautiful example of what we need to do sometimes when we're really, really busy. You can't organize your schedule sometime on the basis first come, first serve. Triage nurse doesn't do that. She works in the emergency room, and you got all kinds of people who will come in the emergency room. And there's no way she's going to organize things on a first come, first serve basis. People die that way. So what she has, her job is, as people come into the hospital, she has to judge each case, which one is more urgent, which one needs the most attention right now. That's the first priority. That's the one who gets first service. The one most in need and critically in need get the first service. Those who come in with a cough and a sniffle, you'd be waiting a while. If there's anything going on, any big thing happening, you're going to be waiting for a while because you probably could make an appointment and go to your regular doctor. You don't need to usually go to the emergency room for such things as a cough and a sniffle. You'll be waiting a while in the emergency room unless you get fortunate. Sometimes discouragement over our own failures to advance in sanctity comes about through a lack of willpower, which can simply be because of our lack of penance. Our wills are weak because we don't mortify ourselves. We don't do penance. That's how we strengthen the will, to say yes to God and no to ourselves. sometimes wonder why we, and this, it's particularly difficult in the first world countries because we cater to all our desires. We have a want or a need or a desire and we're, poof, go for it. We try to satisfy it. We can't mortify ourselves. I mentioned, you know, one of the biggest things in America is that don't snack between meals. I never realized how, until I became a priest, how difficult that is for some people. That is like, that's worse than giving up one thing, like, you know, sugar or sweets or coffee or something like this. Not to snack between meals. It's like, I mean, come on, what is it? What's the big deal? I can understand if you do physical work. I mean, if you're out there, you know, you got, you know, physical hard labor you're doing, you do need to eat something. And the signs of it is the body gets weak and you might, you know, feel faint or whatever like that. So those things are necessary. But if you're sitting there doing office work, I remember one priest, that's what he said. He said, you know, he gave the same, you know, he says, some of you, all you do is sit at a desk. You don't need to eat so much. You're gaining weight. It's obvious you don't need so much. You're putting it on here or other places. Anyway, those are signs that, you know, maybe we could do a little penance. And we don't want to become anorexic. That's another thing. I mean, a good diet, and by diet, I don't mean you're trying to lose weight, but just in the spirit of mortification, to control what you take, how much, and that it stops at some point. You don't just sit there and have the munchies. Even on feasts and solemnities, it's not good to just, you know, you open the thing and, you know, you open a bag of whatever, and the next thing you know, you look and, oh, wow, the bag's empty. What happened? And you ate it all. You need to have some idea before you open the bag how much you're going to eat and so that you stop at an appropriate time. That's a lack of mortification. It's not necessary to eat like that. And you can eat in accordance with the fact that it's a feast day or a solemnity, but still not pig out. So the Holy Father used to tell the friars, he said, it's a feast day, not a feasting day. Through fear of the effort to ascetical struggle entails, this is one reason we can also fail and our sometimes become discouraged, and of having to give up disordered attachments to the senses, not even apparent failures in our interior struggles or in our concern to do apostolate should be cause for dismay. Whoever, and better, bear in mind when we talk about the apostolate here, we're talking about that drawing souls to Christ, giving a good example. This is how we draw souls to Christ. Whoever does things for love of God and for his glory never fails. Convince yourself of this truth. Your success this time in this matter was to fail. Sometimes we get the most profit from a failure that, you know, things just didn't turn out the way we wanted to. And we're a little disturbed about it. Maybe it's a sign that we weren't ready to accept God's will and what he wanted. Maybe he does want the success to come about in another time, in another place. Or maybe it's just something that he doesn't want to happen and he's trying to give us the idea that he wants you to stop. Maybe that's why it's difficult and you're having problems because it's not his will. Not always. Sometimes it's his will that you do something, but that you struggle to attain that goal. These things need to be discerned. It's one of the reasons why we want a confessor. We want a spiritual director. You know, if we and to strive to obey them. That way we know the difference between discouraged and attachment. You know, discouragement to want to quit when we shouldn't. At the same time, attachment to quit when we should. I always like the example when people are attached. So you got a work you don't like, right? Attachment to work, you've heard about this thing, right? You can be attached to your work. So you got a work you don't like. But it's time to say in your ordinary schedule, and there's no reason why you couldn't do it. It's time to go pray. You can't stand this job. You just want to get it done and over, and so you don't have to think about it or come back to it. And so you continue working and, you know, put off the time of prayer unnecessarily. Guess what? That's attachment to work. Attachment hasn't to do with the fact that you like the job and don't want to stop doing it. It has to do that you won't leave off when you should. That's also attachment. And it can be the other thing. You may overly like it as well. And the same thing happens. You won't stop doing it. If you like doing it, you want to continue doing it when you should stop. We should give thanks to the Lord and try again, even if we have failed, because we haven't necessarily failed. We have gained experience, and so we strive to go on. We've fallen. We must imitate our Lord, who physically fell, carrying his cross. And what does he teach us? You pick that cross back up, and you keep going towards our Calvary to unite our sufferings, our failures, everything, even our successes. We offer those to the Lord because they are his. And they can be used for his glory if we offer them to him. In a few days' time, we will see Jesus in the crib. We'll contemplate Our Lady holding him in her arms, tenderly and lovingly embracing him. May we do this in our own life by our fidelity to him, as he would give to the sisters. In one sister, St. Gertrude, he showed her a vision of the sisters who were each, Our Lady gave each of the sisters, Our Lady, I gave each of the sisters our Lord to hold in their arms. And some would hold him in a very, it was just a child, Jesus, just a baby. And some would hold him in very awkward and uncomfortable positions. And St. Gertrude wondered at this. And she was told, those are the ones who are not attentive to life of obedience, who are not careful about obedience, because they carelessly regard what is pleasing to our Lord and what would offer him comfort and consolation. And so because we don't want to suffer, he suffers. And the sight will be a proof of God's mercy and love, this contemplation of the tender love of the Immaculate for our Lord. We will be able to say on this Christmas night, everything inside us stops. We are face to face with him. There is nothing but this child in the whole of that huge white expanse. He does not say anything, but he is there. He is God loving us. And if God became man and loves us, how are we to refuse to seek him? How are we going to give up hope of finding him if he is searching for us? Let us rid ourselves of any suggestion of discouragement. He has come to save us. We must just turn to him, tell him we're sorry for having failed him in whatever ways we fail him, and strive to continue. Neither external difficulties nor our personal wretchedness can do anything to quell the joy that this Christmas, I hope, will bring to each one of us as it approaches, that Christ might touch each of us in a special way to serve him more faithfully in this coming year. Praise be Jesus and Mary.